Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
In Maryland, a woman is accused of slicing off a dead man's thumb to steal his financial apps off his phone. In San Antonio, a Sonic manager is killed during an argument with a drive-thru customer. And in California, a man who committed murder in 1984 is finally arrested. Right. These stories and more are coming at you today, Wednesday, July 17th. On Real Life Real Crime Daily, and I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And it's Hump Day.
Hump Day. July is more than half over.
Right, and it's hot still. Hot. It seems hot. Like it gets hotter by the minute.
I know, bro. It's too hot. And you know what? I hadn't said it yet, but hearts go out to all the people affected by the hurricane.
Yes.
And a lot of them were still, as of
no electricity, today,
still, still no electricity.
I know that.
And
is.
We know that feeling, right?
Oh, yeah.
19 days after Ida with no electricity.
Let me tell you this just real fast that the listeners might find interesting. In 2003, when Katrina came through, of course, electricity went out everywhere. My wife was 9 months pregnant. 2005, rather. Yep. My wife was 9 months pregnant with my twin girls.
Really?
Went into labor
right
in the middle of, it was right after, pretty much right after the hurricane passed.
Yeah.
So we end up at Woman's Hospital, and I'll never forget while I'm waiting for, I guess, my twins to come out.
Right.
I was up on the top floor of the parking garage, and I was watching helicopters land from New Orleans because everything in New Orleans was underwater, and those hospitals were having to bring those babies all the way to Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
It was an amazing sight.
Yeah.
Unbelievable to see.
No doubt.
And hundreds of helicopters in the sky.
Flying in and getting it done.
Yeah. Right? Very interesting.
Well, there you go.
All right.
Well, let's get down to some true crime time for Wednesday.
And we're going to start off in Maryland. And a woman has been accused of cutting a man's thumb and using it to access his financial apps and steal money.
Yeah.
I knew it would happen at some point, right? Facile Telcomerium.
Huh.
I'm pretty sure that's right.
Uh-huh.
53 was found dead with stab wounds after police officers were called to his apartment for a report of an unconscious person. 19-year-old Audrey Miller was arrested in connection with this murder and was later charged with first-degree murder and armed felony murder. Police said that another suspect, 22-year-old Tiffany Taylor of Bowie, Maryland, was also arrested and charged with the same crimes as Miller. Now, the charging documents state that Telcomerium, I'm hoping that's right, y'all, had been found dead inside a bedroom with blunt force injuries to his head and torso, several cuts to his leg and right hand, and his right thumb cut off. The coroner determined that his body had been found between 2 and 5 days after he had been killed and that his thumb had been removed while he was close to death or shortly thereafter. Investigators also noted that cleaning products had been used at his apartment, though police were eventually able to identify a bloody shoe print by using a forensic crime scene tool. I'll bet you that's the blue light, maybe?
Yeah, probably so. I would say.
Because if they clean the stain, but wouldn't the blue light help that?
The shoe print, if they cleaned and scrubbed it, it would have taken out the size and shape of the shoe prints. I don't know. Maybe they just found one print.
Yeah.
They forgot to clean.
Well, Miller was captured on camera in Telecomarian's building, entering his apartment with him 4 days prior to him being found dead. She and Gray also captured on camera coming and going from his apartment with two other men wearing mask and hood a few hours later. Well, that tells you they were up to no good. The suspect stole several items from the residence, and a search of his residence showed that several electronic devices and household items were stolen. A witness told investigator that Gray and Telecomarian had a relationship, while another witness said they saw Gray use the stolen thumb to draw money out of his account to pay for things such as an Uber ride, marijuana, and alcohol. Now, you saw this person pull a thumb out?
And then report it.
That didn't raise a red flag? That's crazy. Investigators also found that Telecomarian previously filed a complaint accusing Gray of theft last year after his phone went missing and more than $1,600 was stolen from his financial app, which I'm assuming that's like Cash App or Venmo. Yeah. They don't really say here. PayPal. But how about that? Cutting his thumb off so that they can take his phone and just set his thumb on it. You know, what
pops in my head, that's an old-ass phone. Think about it. Now it's all face scan, right?
Yeah.
I don't even think my phone has a thumbprint anymore. Maybe it does.
Well, it's definitely several generations before what mine has, but you can still get them.
So this weekend I was watching, I like to watch auction shit, and I don't even know the name of the show, but the guy brought in an iPhone 1 or whatever the first one was in the box.
The original iPhone?
In the box, sealed. $60,000 is what they gave him for that phone. They're so expensive now. Right? They're so expensive now that the like eBay was being flooded with them and stuff, and people were paying way up for it, and $20,000-$30,000, and they're getting the box and it's sealed, and they open it up. It's got fucking rocks and shit in it. So people are taking it. So they actually scanned this one, and they could see remember the earbuds used to come with a cord and all that? $60,000 for an iPhone 1.
Must have been Antiques Roadshow you were watching.
No. It was some golden auctions or something. Right. King Auctions or some shit like that.
Okay.
I watched every auction show.
I like auction shows too, but that's.
This is about this auction house LDWIN, they do all the high-end sports memorabilia to whatever.
It goes for some money. Show. Yeah, so if you have an original iPhone, I'll give you $500.
Especially in the box shrink wrap. This guy had bought two, one for him, one for his mom. His mom didn't want it, and he just put it in a drawer for all this year.
Holy smokes, man.
Nice, right?
That's a good return on your investment.
Yeah, but I don't even think that one had the thumbprint.
No, it didn't. The original, didn't exist. You just turned your phone on, it was on.
Right.
There wasn't no hiding shit.
Yeah, there wasn't. they showed the apps on the home screen on it. It was like
one app.
Big-ass text thing and whatever else. But anyway, all right, let's go. You know how I love when they catch a motherfucker that got away with a crime. And I'm going to take you out to Roseville, California. And after 40 years of investigative work, authorities recently located and arrested a 59-year-old man in Los Angeles on suspicion of attacking and killing a woman. Now, according to the release from Roseville Police, investigators found the body of 69-year-old Madeline Garcia on Atlantic Street in 1984. Officers recovered evidence at a scene suggesting Garcia had been attacked and dragged into an alley where she was killed. The police detectives exhausted all leads, and despite their efforts, officials were unable to identify a suspect at the time. Now, the Placer County District Attorney's Office noted that many of the officers and the detectives who initially worked on the case have since retired, but the investigation continued. DA's office and police detectives submitted samples for further testing. Prosecutors said advancement in forensic techniques, like we always talk about, coupled with investigative tenacity and teamwork, led to the identification and arrest of Richard Moore in Los Angeles on June 27th. Moore was reportedly living there at the time and was booked into custody before he was transported back to Placer County. He appeared in court for arraignment on a charge of murder with special allegations related to kidnapping and rape, and he pleaded not guilty. But anyway, they got him after, that's a long fucking time, bro. Yeah. I was 14.
Yeah. And I mean,
so he's 5 years old. He was 19 when he did it.
You know, and they're catching a lot of these people now that it thought that, you know, that guy thought he got away with it.
Oh, yeah, but he did get away with it for 40 years, bro. That's 40 Christmases and birthdays and holidays and 4th of July's and shit. He got away with it.
Yeah. Well, he's got to pay the piper now. You
know, he's just sitting in jail. He's going to pay something, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Technology, you know, is really making in the world of crime solving.
Right.
You know, you were a detective back when you had to be a real detective back then. It's a lot easier than it was.
We had a lot more avenues between cameras and DNA and all the stuff that we didn't have. Being able to pin your cell phone and to certain locations. And I mean, they got so much more technology.
Yeah, back then it was all legwork.
Because, it was boots on the ground, right?
Wow. Well, I'm glad they finally got him.
Yep.
We're going to go to Saint Antonio. You like Sonic? I love their ice.
I like their tater ties.
I like their conies.
Yeah.
Their conies are good. Yeah. Don't eat there a whole lot, but when I do, I usually get a coney and a drink because it has the Sonic ice. Right. I like it so much, I actually got a machine now in the studio that makes Sonic ice. But we're going to take you to San Antonio, and police have identified a male and a female they believe are responsible for fatally shooting a 33-year-old Sonic employee over the weekend. San Antonio police shared those photos on social media of the two persons of interest and said they were suspected of killing the employee at a Sonic on Babcock Road in San Antonio. Police have not publicly revealed the suspects' names. The victim, Daryl Shrewsbury, reportedly got into a verbal dispute with the female suspect in the drive-thru. And during the argument, she pulled out a gun and shot him. Shrewsbury managed to get back inside the fast food restaurant after he was shot. Shrewsbury's family thinks he was called out, thinks he was shot because he called out the suspect's fake money.
Right.
Apparently, they were trying to give him counterfeit bills.
Right.
Shrewsbury was not even supposed to be working the day of the shooting. He was called in. Shrewsbury's mom said her son was caring and loving, and a lot of people loved him. And it's just a really tragic split. It sounds like a split second decision where a man lost his life. This man's working hard coming in on his day off.
We see this shit all the time, more and more. You know, whether it's an attack through the drive-through window because they're pissed about what the bill is or whatever. It's just crazy. People killing each other.
And you're giving this man and you may not even know it was counterfeit, but you're giving this man a counterfeit bill and he's just telling you, hey, it's counterfeit.
It's counterfeit.
It ain't.
Yeah, right.
That's real $20. And you shoot him and kill him.
Kill him. And you know what? They're fucked now. And
they're going to get them. They got their faces all over social media.
Yeah, that just be a minute. That's all. So, all right, let's go out to H-Town, Houston. Of course, Leah Marie being from there.
Yep.
This one I've been holding on to for a minute. But a 13-year-old Anthony Lopez's stepmother, Angie Cardinal, and his mother, Monica Medina, held on to each other Wednesday as they talked about the moment they learned he died in a shooting. The only reason we knew he was gone was because his friend, who tried to save his life, called us and told us. He tried CPR. He tried to save our boy. He did everything he could, said Cardinal. My son's last words were, "What's happening to me?" That's what his mom said. Investigators said a 15-year-old boy shot Lopez with an AR-15 inside an apartment off of Wanda Lane. The 15-year-old told police he threw the gun in the bayou after the shooting, but police found it in a drainage pipe in the opposite direction. So he's trying to turn him around, right? Now, witness told police the shooting was an accident, but after police gathered more information, the 15-year-old is now charged with manslaughter. The witness would not give police a statement, according to the DA's office. The investigator said the 15-year-old's guardians left him home alone while they left to work in a different state. Okay. Well, I mean, you gotta work, I guess. Yeah. We would like for the other teens that were there with our son to please come forward and please let officers, let the detectives know what really happened, said Cardinal. And Medina said her son lives in Washington State and was in Houston just visiting her. We were just at the pool the same night with my family and my kids, and it's just so unreal. I feel like it's a dream, a terrible, horrible dream. I just can't believe it, said Medina. And they go on to talk about the victim. Anthony's family said he loved sports and had big league dreams. He was kind. He was sweet. He was caring, respectful, known and loved by all of his coaches and family. He was determined. Our baby was going to the NFL. He was funny. He was full of love, and he had the biggest heart anyone could ask for, said Cardinal. And the name of the shooter has not been released because it's a minor. Maybe one of those where they're playing around with guns or whatever and shot at the friends. And I've worked those too. I mean, boy, you talk about sad. I had one, but the dude just bought a new pistol and he was laying on the couch and his friend was sitting up in a chair. This was up north of Denham. And his buddy said, let me see the pistol. And the guy that was in the chair gave it to him and is just fucking around and just turned like this and squeezed the trigger and shot and killed his buddy in the chair.
You know, and those are horrible cases because it wasn't obviously intentional, right, but it was definitely negligent. Yeah, it was
definitely negligent. Well, I had three brothers, and they were all minors in a room, and one brother got a shotgun out. They'd been rabbit hunting or something. Got the shotgun out and pulled the fucking trigger and killed his 7-year-old brother. Not on purpose, obviously.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what do you do? I guess you got to live with that.
Yeah, horrible. Well, our thoughts and prayers definitely go out to that family. They get the answers they need. We're going to go to Minnesota.
Minnesota. This year, Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Did you see the new series on Netflix?
Which?
Receivers.
No.
It's got Justin Jefferson.
Does it really?
Amon St. Brown. What's his name from Las Vegas that played for Green Bay before? Yeah. It's got four of them. They follow him throughout the season.
I have to check that out. I know they did one on quarterbacks where they did
So this is like
Kansas
that.
Kansas City.
And I didn't know Peyton Manning is executive producer of those shows.
Is he really? Yeah,
absolutely.
No, I did not. Yeah. Peyton's smart now.
Yes.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, why are nearly one in three American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that doesn't turn into fat when you consume it. Instead, it turns into a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body.
So getting more MCTs in your diet is like flipping a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which flushes out excess fat and calories. And Dr. Gundry has created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it comes in a tasty drink form. It actually tastes good. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized.
So if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/RLRC and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. And again, that's GundryMD. .com/RLRC.
Awesome.
All right, good deal.
Woody, I just don't know what to do with Wendy lately. She's getting close to the big 5-0, and she just does not seem to have the energy she is used to having, and says sometimes she feels like a wet sock on a busy highway.
I'll tell you this, Jim. Cindy's biggest struggles this past year was fighting the symptoms associated with menopause: hot flashes, mild mood swings, and sleeplessness. She had them all until she tried Hormone Harmony. She was amazed at how much Hormone Harmony reduced her symptoms and supported her mood and her general well-being. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon.
I have noticed that women can't stop talking about it on social media. I even saw a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And when I did my research, I saw that Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life.
So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Very good. Well, we'll get back to Minnesota, and a speeding Minnesota state trooper T-boned a passenger side of a Ford Focus at full throttle, killing a high school cheerleader just before her graduation. Trooper Shane Roper, 32, hit speeds as high as 135 miles per hour.
The reason 136 is that's as fast as that car would go.
99 miles per hour over the speed limit. Right. Without his lights and sirens, during one of the four times he was speeding on, speeding prior to that crash before blasting into the side of that Focus. And a Ford Focus is very little,
right,
y'all. Olivia Flores, 18, who was in the passenger seat, was killed. Five others were injured but survived. It's a miracle. This week, Roper was charged with manslaughter, criminal vehicular homicide, and five counts of criminal vehicular operation. Two of Flores's friends were injured in the crash, and three others were in a third car that was where they were also injured. Flores was with her friends on the way to the mall when Roper crashed into the Focus at 83 miles per hour in a 40 mile per hour zone. Trooper Roper maintained a full throttle without lights and sirens. Investigation revealed that the trooper did not come off full throttle until the Focus started into the intersection approximately 1.4 seconds before impact. Trooper Roper's vehicle violently impacted that Focus, obviously, and this was the fourth time he drove above speed limits during that particular day, right, including one incident where he topped out at 135, which we just said.
They
track the speeds of the.
Yes, they have the. And thank God they didn't have that back in my day. They can tell you where you're at, if your vehicle's running, how fast you're going, if you know.
You know,
so they can tell everything. Yeah.
And a lot of people have those apps, the
safe driver things.
Yeah, and even Woody, the app where you can track your kids and stuff. Yeah. Somebody out there screaming it right now, but that will also tell you the speed, the average speed your kid goes, all kinds of things.
Y'all, if you haven't done this, contact your insurance company and they'll give you the thing to put in your car, and they follow you for like 2 weeks, and the safe driver, and they give you like a 30% discount.
Yeah, they offered me that. I'm like, I don't want you following me. Big brother watching me. I quit worrying about people following me when I got out of my house and got out on my own and was driving a car, and you know, and didn't have to worry about my parents fussing at me for
it.
I don't want State Farm yelling at me.
Yeah, we didn't have that, thank goodness, back in the day, right? So Let's go out to Tennessee, where I used to live. I love me some Tennessee.
Yeah, man.
This was in Hendersonville, and a 17-year-old suspect is in custody after allegedly killing a runaway juvenile whose remains were found near a wooded area last week. Mm. Now, on the evening of June 29th, the Macon County Sheriff's Office received a report that 17-year-old Trittany Bostic was missing. Investigators spoke with the relatives and friends in the hope of finding her. Using Bostic's cell phone number, deputies tracked her location in Sumner County and contacted local officials. And despite their attempts, authorities were unable to find Bostic. Now, officials entered the missing juvenile into the National Crime Information Center. That's a computer, y'all, where they issued a bolo to be on the lookout for her. And according to Hendersonville Police, on July 3rd, a Tennessee Department of Transportation subcontractor worker who was picking up trash found human remains in a small wood line on New Shackle Island Road. And investigators positively identified the victim as Bostic and suspected foul play was involved in her death. Now, on July the 6th, police announced the arrest of a 17-year-old male whose name has not been released, and he was booked in the Sumner County Detention Center on charges of first-degree murder. You hate that for her. She's a beautiful little girl. I got a picture of her. But prime, not even in the prime of her life, the start of her life, and first-degree murder. Got to be a rape and shit involved. Or maybe the kidnapping. I don't know. But every parent's worst nightmare. And it's just beginning for them.
And, you know, there's a balance with your kids that you try to find, and I've always struggled to find that line. Right. I'm definitely on the side of overprotective.
Right.
Even now, and my kids are 18, but... 18 and 20, but I'll tell you, just going to work out at 9 o'clock at night, you know, I make sure I tell my girls if they're going that late, you better keep your head on a swivel and watch everything you do, because that's when these jackasses are looking to snatch somebody and sex trafficking and stuff like that. It don't just happen. Sex trafficking don't just happen to very, very young women either. Yeah. You could be a 40-year-old woman and the next thing you know, you're in Mexico, right? Or somewhere else.
Yeah, taken and used for all the nefarious things they did.
Yeah, so how about we go to Alaska? We don't go there too often, Woody.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Alaska?
No, because I know I won't come back.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
You tell me about you going.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going, and I'm going to dredge.
For gold? Gear,
and we're going to dredge for gold.
There you go, bro.
Okay. I'm going to try to spend 2 weeks at the Cripple River Mining Camp. I have to fly in float plane, and then you get there on four wheeler, and it's real rustic and everything.
Yeah.
You get to keep all the gold you find, and then one day of the 2 weeks you work on the general mining operation, and they divide all that gold up at the end of the 2 weeks.
Pretty awesome, kind of like Gold Rush, the movie,
or the TV show. Yeah, can't wait to go. Well, tell me about it.
Well, I wish this was about gold. This is about a death, but a man killed two Alaska Native women and was heard while videotaping the torture death of one of them that in his movies, he said, everybody always dies. That's how cold-blooded this guy was. He was sentenced Friday to 226 years in prison. Brian Stephen Smith received 99-year sentences for each of the deaths of Kathleen Henry, who was 30, and Veronica Abchuk, who was 52, when her family reported her missing in February 2019, 7 months after they last saw her. Both were treated as horribly as a person can be treated, according to the judge. The remaining 28 years were for other charges like sexual assault and tampering with evidence. Alaska does not have a death penalty. Mm. Smith, who was a native of South Africa, became a naturalized U.S. citizen shortly before torturing and killing Henry at an Anchorage hotel in September of 2019, showing no emotion during sentencing. He also displayed no emotion when a jury deliberated for less than 2 hours and found him guilty after a three-week trial in February. So those prosecutors obviously did a good job. Right. During the trial, the victims were not identified by name, only initials, and Saxby said during the sentencing that their names would be used only in order to restore their personhood. Smith was arrested in 2019 when the sex worker stole when a sex worker stole his cell phone from his truck and found the gruesome footage of Henry's torture and murder. How about that? Yeah. Prostitute, he gets a prostitute, she steals his phone, she gets it open, and
there you have it.
There's a murder on his cell phone. The images were eventually copied onto a memory card, and she turned that memory card over to police. Smith eventually confessed to killing Henry and Abchuk, whose body had been found earlier but were misidentified. Both Alaska Native women were from small villages in western Alaska and experienced homelessness when living in Anchorage. And so if you noticed earlier, I said she wasn't, one of them was not reported missing, Henry, for 7 months. And that's why, high-risk lifestyle. So authorities identified Henry as the victim whose death was recorded at a Town Place Suites Marriott in Midtown Anchorage. Smith, who works at the hotel, was registered to stay there from September 2nd to 4th of 2019. And the first images from the card showed Henry's body, and they were timestamped at 1 a.m. that day. The last image, early September 6th of 2019, showed Henry's body in the back of a black pickup. Charging documents said location data showed Smith's phone in the same rural area of Anchorage where Henry's body was found a few weeks earlier, and videos from the memory card were shown during the trial to the jury but hidden from the gallery. Smith's face was never shown in the videos, but his distinctive South African accent, which police eventually recognized from previous encounters, was heard narrating it as if there were an audience. On the tape, he repeatedly urged Henry to die as he beat and strangled her. Nice. "In my movies, everybody always dies," the voice said in one video. "What are my followers going to think of me? People need to know when they are being serial killed."
Crazy.
During an 8-hour interview with police, Smith confessed to killing Abchuk after picking her up from Anchorage when his wife was out of town. He took her to his home, and he offered to take her to his home. She refused. Then he convinced her, asked her to shower because of an odor. She became upset, and that pissed him off. He retrieved a pistol from the garage and shot her in the head, dumped her body north of Anchorage, and he told police the location where authorities later found a skull with a bullet wound in it.
Can you imagine?
This dude was filming it like a movie.
They're just recording it. Hey, not his first body, probably, right?
No.
Bodies.
I would imagine this guy's probably got a lot more blood on his hands that haven't even been discovered yet.
Possibly, coming from Africa, right?
Yeah. And thought he was safe, I guess, because his face wasn't on video. But you got an accent, buddy.
Well, he thought he was safe because he thought he had possession of his own phone.
Yeah.
To the girl stole it.
Right? Yep.
Which is crazy in and of itself. But I don't know, Jimmy, but it's hot, right? And everybody knows it's hot. And now it's hot in Louisiana with the humidity. It's hot out west with the dry heat and all that, and let's go out west, okay? And I'm going to tell you about an infant named Tana Ray Robleski, and unfortunately died after she was with her family on Lake Havasu during a severe heat wave in Arizona. Now, she was a four-month-old infant, and she died after she was exposed to a heat wave while on Lake Havasu with her family on Friday, July the 5th, and that's with the Mojave. Sitka County Sheriff's Office confirmed. The baby girl, Tana Ray, fell ill and then lost consciousness around 5 p.m. on Friday while her family was out on a boat on the lake. Before the Lake Havasu City Fire Department arrived on the scene, Tana's family performed CPR on her, and the first responders then transported him to Havasu Regional Medical Center, where they continued to work on her and get a pulse. She was then airlifted to Phoenix Children's Hospital, but succumbed to injuries. Now, check this out. An investigation into Tana's death is ongoing, and additionally, the infant's cause of death has yet to be released by the medical examiner. But beginning on Thursday, July the 4th, the Lake Havasu region alerted the public that temperatures would be breaking records for the first time in nearly four decades. Temperatures in the area hit highs of 120 degrees Fahrenheit starting Friday and continued reaching the 110s through the middle of July. And numerous, they've had a lot of people died from, obviously, from the heat shit. But Tanya's mother posted a heartfelt tribute, on Sunday, July 7th on Facebook, said, "Tana Ray, a real life angel, became an angel in heaven. We were beyond devastated, heartbroken. There are just no words. On July 5th, our precious girl gave us her last smiles and we gave her our last kisses."
Woody, did you know you can't see a wrinkle? What we're seeing is the shadow inside the wrinkle. Top Beverly Hills plastic surgeon Dr. Lakey has helped countless celebrities achieve flawless complexions both on and off screen. He says the secret is to eliminate the shadow. And there are two ways you can do that. Fill in the crease itself and reflect light away from the shadow. Fortunately, he's found a way anyone can do just that to achieve a flawless red carpet look right from home. It's called Deep Wrinkle Filler. Deep Wrinkle Filler combines a unique blend of skin-like polymers and light-reflecting diamond dust to visibly fill in the look of fine lines and wrinkles. Best of all, this groundbreaking formula helps nourish the skin to improve its natural texture every time you use it.
Dude, I almost died a few weeks back. If you don't think that gave me some extra wrinkles, I'm in my 40s. I thought it was cool to have a wrinkle or two. Now I get it. Who wants wrinkles?
Agreed. And the best part for me is it's easy to apply, has a pleasing scent, and you notice a difference instantly. Go to BeverlyHillsMD.com/RLRC to get up to 68% off your regular priced order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want to visibly fill in stubborn wrinkles, go to BeverlyHillsMD.com/RLRC today.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
You know, she wasn't even 4 months old, right? I mean, she was right close to 4 months. Now, let me tell you this. When WL came up, his birthday was this past weekend. And the day before, Sydney was scheduled for where they induced the labor shit, we were out on my boat, right? And then he was raised on the boat, on the lake and whatever.
Yeah.
120 degree temperatures, man. I mean, I remember him being asleep, like, not even 1 year old, and we were at the rope swing, and we had the music blaring wide open for however long, and he'd pick up his head. I would look over, he's got his head peeked over at the top of the thing. But, you know, you got to, y'all, it's hot. Like Jim said earlier, it's hot. And I mean, I don't know how you don't catch charges on your 4 month old and 120
degrees. You're in the desert, man.
Yeah.
I mean, the Mojave Desert.
Even though you're
desert.
On a lake in the desert, it's still 120 degrees, and a 4 month old isn't in the water. Not throwing a shade. I hate that they lost it, but y'all be careful.
Wow. It's horrible.
Yes, it is.
I'm a little mile high crime today. Mile high. We're going to go to Hawaii.
Hawaii
for this one.
Been there.
Well, the Hawaii Police Department. I've never been to Hawaii. I hear the food's expensive.
You're not missing.
Everybody that I've ever talked to regarding Hawaii says, "Oh, the food's ridiculous." Because you got to fly everything in that you can't
expensive.
Grow.
Everything's expensive.
The Hawaii Police Department has arrested a 41-year-old by the name of Akito Fukushima for first-degree terroristic threatening early this past Tuesday. According to Hawaii's PD, Fukushima was released pending an investigation. The investigators are expected to present the case to the prosecutor's office for review next week. The police say Fukushima was carrying two items resembling grenades that were detected during an X-ray screening in his carry-on bag. Right. The grenades were purchased at an Army-Navy surplus store on the island. Fukushima is a Japanese national from Japan departing the U.S. at the time of his arrest. Police said that they are replicas of explosives, such as hand grenades, but they are prevented and prohibited as check-in or carry-on items for obvious reasons, right. Y'all. TSA officials can also prohibit any item they believe poses a security threat. So Mr. Hikashima, I guess, did not realize that bringing a inert grenade onto your carry-on luggage.
What
is
the purpose? I mean, what are you going to do with those? I don't get it. But let me tell you about those. When I was in high school, Swim was in high school, went to the Army Surplus Store, and you could buy the pineapple grenades, but they were obviously, they had a hole bored in the end, right, where all the gunpowder was out.
Yeah.
And what it is, they cram those grenades full of gunpowder, and the reason it looks like a pineapple is to make the metal weaker, so when it explodes,
the shrapnel goes right. Everywhere.
So Swim got one of those, and we got my buddy's dad's, it was actually the judge, that refilled his own bullets, and we went and got a thing of his black powder, and put a fuse on it, and then filled it up with black powder and took a piece of wood and hammered it in on it. But honestly, thought motherfucker wasn't going to blow up.
Right.
Because I figured to blow the wood out or something like that. And, bro, thank God that my buddy's carport had a half brick wall, and we lit the fuse in the fucker and threw it over the wall. It blew the windows out of the house.
No way.
And thank God we were down behind the wall, or it killed all of us. I'm thinking, what in the fuck do you need two inert grenades for?
Yeah. I guess.
There ain't nothing good.
I mean, and you're definitely not going to bring those on a plane.
No,
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
You're not going to be allowed to use it
as a paperweight on your desk or something, maybe. But, I mean, why bring it on a plane? I don't get it.
Bizarre, man. Bizarre. Well, he did not get away with it, but that's your mile high crime for today.
There you go. Now, I'm going to do one more, Jim.
Is it kinky?
No.
Oh.
Unfortunately, it's not.
Damn it.
Unfortunately, it's not. I got to get back on the kinky train. Y'all send me your kinky stories. Let's see. Let's go to Buffalo, New York, where my nephew and I guess my nephew's kid be to me. Anyway, his first great-grandbaby.
What would that be?
I don't know.
Let's figure that out.
I get
out.
That shit confused all the time.
Second cousin?
I don't know. But
somebody out there screaming.
It's Dalton Lee. But he's the first. I think my parents have like 23 grandkids, and only now three of them are boys out of the 23, maybe 21. But he was the first great grandchild, and he was a boy. And now I'm about to be a grandfather of the first great granddaughter. But anyway, that's where they live. So we go to Buffalo. A Buffalo police officer fatally shot a man while clinging to the suspect's car after he sped off with a 6-year-old child in the front seat during a traffic stop. And this was all on body cam. Have you heard this?
Mm-mm.
All right. So Officer Ronald Ammerman pulled over 25-year-old Davion Roberts just after midnight Wednesday for driving at an excessive speed and having tinted windows. Now, Ammerman approached the driver's side of the car and immediately noticed that a 6-year-old boy, whom the suspect first identified as his little cousin, and then second later as his nephew, was sitting, the kid was sitting in the front seat without a seatbelt. That's what the cop noticed, and this guy changed the story. The officer asked Roberts to provide identification, to which he agreed. The suspect had told the officer he was from Georgia and was driving his sister's vehicle, showed him an out-of-state ID on his phone, and said it was fine because he gets pulled over every day, right? Mm-hmm. It's all good. Don't worry about it. So, however, upon looking up the ID, the officer found the photo of the ID to be invalid and that Roberts didn't have a license in either state. The officer then told Robert authorities would do a different search for his name, and Ammerman, the officer, y'all, reached into the car and opened the door. Seconds after the door opened, Robert slammed on the gas pedal and sped off with the officer holding on to the door frame for dear life. And that's another shit moment. And they got all this on body cam, y'all. "You're going to kill me, bro," Ammerman, who's a cop, y'all, can be heard repeatedly pleading as the car accelerates. The officer begs the suspect to slow down and he'll get out. But Roberts, the driver, ignored him. Roberts continues to drive erratically and appears to kick Ammerman to push him off the car while a 6-year-old can be heard hysterically crying. Boom, Jim. So Officer Ammerman pulls out his gun and fires several rounds into Roberts, who comes tumbling out of the moving vehicle and onto the officer. Ammerman clutches onto the car for about 20 seconds before he shoots Roberts and the two fall into the street. "Shots fired. There's a kid in the car still. He tried killing me," Ammerman shouts in his radio while rushing over to check on the child. Upon reaching the vehicle, the officer immediately consoles a 6-year-old who was thankfully unharmed. In the body cam of Ammerman's partner, Officer Jonathan Crawford was positioned on the passenger side of the suspect's car, which showed the moment Robert took off with his partner clinging to the car. And Crawford then gets in his cruiser and reaches the suspect lying motionless on the ground before more help arrives. He was taken in the hospital, but he's dead. And Ammerman was also taken to the hospital, the officer with minor injuries and later released. They got a search warrant for the car and it didn't even belong to the guy. And they found a loaded 9mm Taurus handgun under the driver's seat. So it goes on, but obviously he had bad intentions.
Right? Oh yeah. And there's no doubt. And those police you take such a risk.
Right. Every day.
You should never know what you're walking into.
And I mean, think about shooting that in the car that close. Thank God that baby didn't get hit.
Yes.
And this guy has a long history of being a shithead. But he won't be a shithead anymore.
He's going down now.
And he's going downtown.
Look, let's talk real quick about Ryan Loader.
Yeah, yeah.
Ryan Loader dominated on his fight. And I'll tell you what, I watched it. He did what's called an arm in choke. That was the submission. And that, I can tell you, is probably the hardest choke. You have to be stronger than strong to pull that off because someone's arm is in the way. So you're trained in order to avoid a choke to put your hand. They actually call them making earmuffs. You put your hand on your ears, and if someone's trying to choke you, you're creating space.
Right.
So essentially, Ryan Loader choked him with his own arm.
That's hard. He's a beast. But took no damage.
He didn't even get hit in that fight.
I know. I got to talk to him. So I didn't even tell you this. I've been talking to Ryan. Just a cool cat.
Seems like this.
We're in a group text, me and his dad and Shane McBride. anyway, this weekend I sent him a picture of W.O. going his first scuba lesson, and Ryan sent one and said, or you could just do this. And there's a 50-something second video of him free diving in California with a spear gun. I'm going down like 40 feet. And, but he's
free diving.
Check this out. I'm going to tell you something else about it. So this season on The Ultimate Fighter, I told you there are more international fighters than ever. Yeah. Well, actually, there's only two American fighters out of the 16 in the house. And Ron sent me this, the dad sent me that. And, I mean, that's pretty cool, right? But did you see what Ryan was talking about? His teachers were told his parents, you got to get.
Oh, yeah, with the dyslexia.
Basically, you're a dumbass. They didn't know he had dyslexia at the time. But Ron, he not only did he go on to graduate from college and be a national champion wrestler, he was on the Olympic team or the final eight or whatever for the Olympics. And then they got his college got him to come back, and he got his master's and whatever. Just a super, super smart guy. And what really pulled on my heartstrings when he was on there talking about having the problems, and he hopes there's another kid out there that's watching it, and when people are telling you can't do this, you can't do that, don't give up your dreams.
Yeah, use Ryan Loader as an example. And what a great
kid. I can't wait to see the next fight.
Me either. And I'll tell you, he's a wrestler.
Champion college wrestler.
Division One. And wrestlers are the toughest individuals mentally that you will ever meet. They absolutely spend their whole life not giving up.
Right.
You never give up on a takedown. They have to cut weight a lot of times, which takes a lot of mental strength. This guy's a beast. And look, he's being coached right now by Valentina Shevchenko. Yeah,
it's going to be they're going to fight again.
She looks lovely as always.
Right? Her and Valentina. The one that's the champion now, I can't forget her name, they're going to fight.
Yeah.
So whoever wins in the house gets to go to Vegas for the finale. And what happens in the finale is the two top ones in that each division that are still standing, they fight for a UFC contract, $250,000. But the headline of that fight is the two coaches fight again.
Yeah.
So those two women are going to fight again for the world championship.
Valentina.
But yeah, man, I dealt with people from all walks of life for so many years. But I hope my boys, I know one of them has, but I hope WL will grow up to be a class act.
Absolutely.
And he wasn't even, I've told him, I said, I'm thankful they didn't have UFC when I was coming up because my dumb ass would have done it. And he said his mama wouldn't even let him watch the show coming up. And
she knew he wanted to do it.
But he got into it. He was during COVID, he was training because he was a professional wrestler, right?
Yeah.
He was training him on some USC fighters on the wrestling part.
Yeah.
And Uriah Faber and them were there, and they were like, hey, you know what? You need to try this out, and the rest is history.
Yep. And Uriah Faber, absolute legend.
Shane got to meet and said he's a class act.
Yeah, he's just awesome.
A cool cat.
California surfer, baby.
Yep.
So shout out to you, Ryan Loader. Congratulations on your win. Looking forward to continue to watch. A good looking kid too, man.
Yeah, 16.
I used to look like that in 93.
Me too.
When I had a full head of hair. Yeah.
That boy, he's got a boy. Yeah, young man's got it going on.
That's right. But, so shout out to you. Any final thoughts?
Just love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Y'all send us your stories. If you want to hear something funny or whatever happened in your hometown, send it to us and we will get it covered.
All right. Until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Everson.
Your host of Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.